It does. Very good. Good morning. It's good to see everyone here. I'm very glad you're here. If you're visiting with us, you're our honored guest, and we hope that you will be able to have time to stay a little while later and meet with us as we conclude the services today. Yesterday, a group got together, and everybody was invited, to celebrate the fact that we have some young people graduating from high school. Five of them, to be exact. Sydney, Shiloh, Leah, Abby, and Rebecca. Graduation is a turning point in your life. You've had 12 years of school. That's a long time. And yet, you have the rest of your life to go. Whether you go on to college, or whether you go on to a trade or work or whatever it be, you'll always be learning. We've had other graduates, Joel and Shana, have both graduated from certain programs that they were in and accomplished their goals in education. But even then, they'll tell you, as they enter into a professional life, the learning never ends, because there's always professional training you have to go through. If you're a doctor, or if you're an architect, if you're an engineer, or whatever, you have to maintain your edge. You have to keep up with what's going on. You have to keep on learning. As Christians, we're the same way. Since this is a change in your life, I wanted to talk about something that an example in the Bible, examples in the Bible of people living their lives and the kind of lives we should live as we go on and face the world. And frankly, I found something I'd done before. So, spoiler alert, this is a rerun. But hopefully, as Terry will tell you, you never preach the same sermon twice the same way, and so it'll seem a little bit different, a little bit fresher. Maybe. Let's talk about David. David, the scripture that was read talks about when Samuel was talking to Saul, informed him that he had done foolishly and had not kept God's commandments, and so God has decided to, and if he had kept the commandments, God would have established his kingdom forever, or for all time on the throne of Israel. But he didn't. And so Samuel said, okay, you are going to be replaced. The kingdom will not continue. Jehovah has sought a man after his own heart. And he's describing David as a man after God's own heart. A preacher I once knew said that David gave him a lot of hope. Because if David, with all of his foibles and trials and things that he had done, could be a man after God's own heart, then certainly there was hope for us all. And so, I'm having trouble with this thing, let's ignore it. How could we be like David? I think David is a type. Yes, he was a king, but he was a person. We could be like David in reputation, in an unquestioning faith that he had. He was a man of accomplishments. He was a person who was humble. He had some weaknesses, don't we all? Those weaknesses led him to sin, but he repented of those sins. Let's talk about his reputation. In 1 Samuel 16:18, Saul was looking for someone. They had said God had departed from him, and he was having problems with evil spirits, if you will. And they said, well, you need someone to play an instrument and sing for you, and that will help you, you see. And so he said, find somebody. And one of the servants said, look, I've seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a handsome person, and the Lord is with him. Wow. What a rundown of things. How would you like somebody to be able to say that about you? Handsome person, beautiful woman, prudent in speech, and the Lord is with you, a person of valor. In 2 Samuel 29, even David's enemies had a high regard for him. Achish was a Philistine. Now, yes, David had gone to be with the Philistines because Saul was trying to kill him. But Achish answered and said to David, "I know you are as good in my sight as an angel of God." Because David had done well by those who were giving him shelter. He had a good reputation even among his enemies. 1 Samuel 18:14. David behaved wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. When it was time to reunite the kingdom, you remember Abner was the captain of the hosts of David's enemies and of Saul's forces. And when Abner decided to reunite with David, David's chief murdered him. And David mourned for Abner. And all the people took note of it, and it pleased them, since whatever the king did pleased all the people. What politician in this country wouldn't want to have a reputation like that? They'd give anything they could to have that reputation, that whatever they did made the people happy. We have a reputation. As Christians, we should be guarding our reputation. Epaphroditus, "Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem." Moreover, he must have, talking about an elder, what are the qualifications? One of them is, he must have good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. A good reputation. Philippians 2:14, "Do all things without complaining and disputing." Why? "So you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world." As Christians, we should have a good reputation. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. And Jesus himself was a person who grew up with a good reputation. He increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. That's the only thing we know about his life from the time he was 12 until he appears again in the pages of the Scriptures as an adult. That he grew, increased in wisdom, in stature or age, and in favor with God and man. Shouldn't we be like that? If you are a person graduating from high school, you have a certain reputation, and I will say, I'm impressed with the people we have here. You are good. You have a good reputation. Hold that. Keep it. Be like Jesus, the way we should always be like Jesus, to grow in favor of God and man. David is a man of faith. He completely trusted in God. Remember, as he was going out to face Goliath, and Saul looks at this youth, I often think he was probably someone who of the age that just graduated from high school, or maybe even younger, who knows. Shepherd boy, facing down the armies of the Philistines and the champion of the Philistines. And David tells Saul, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistines." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." I think Saul had his doubts. David did not doubt. He was sure of himself. And as he faces Goliath, Goliath says, "What, am I a dog? You send a youth out to fight me?" Something to that effect. And David said, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand." He had faith. He picked up 5 stones from the brook, you remember? You know why? The Bible doesn't tell us why. It really doesn't. My conjecture is, why would he have 5 stones? If you read through the Scriptures, you will find that Goliath had a father, let me see if I get the count right, and 3 brothers who were also giants. There were 5 of them, not 1, in the Philistines nation. There were 5 giants. One stone, one giant. It sounds like the old tale of the Texas Rangers. One riot, one ranger. Right? You ever hear of that? David had faith. He had faith in God. David said to Abishai, even in adversity, David had faith. When Absalom rebelled, and I don't know how this happened, but he led the nation away from David. And he rebelled against David. And David was fleeing for his life. And this guy named Shimei came along and was cursing David. And David's followers said, let's do away with this guy. You know, he's a pain. David said, don't destroy him. Who can stretch out his hand? Well, this is not quite that. This is David's... I got ahead of myself. This is David standing over the sleeping body of Saul, who's been trying to kill him. Saul has his army. But Saul has been trying to kill David. And David comes in while Saul is asleep. And he and his followers are standing over the prostrate form of Saul asleep. Don't destroy him, for who can stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? David said furthermore, as the Lord lives, the Lord shall strike him, or this day shall come to die, or he'll go out to battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed, but please take now the spear and jug of water that's by his head and let's go. God had anointed David to be king. David was fully aware of that, and so was Saul. David could have made himself king by taking a spear and running Saul through right then and there. David would not make himself king. Why? It was God who made Saul king, and it is God who will undo the kingship of Saul and make David king in his place. David trusted God that that would happen as God said it would happen. He had faith in God. Do we have promises that God has made to us as Christians? Yes. Do we have enough faith in God that if we follow and do what God tells us to do, that God will keep His part and God will do what God said God would do? Remember, David is running for his life. And Saul's trying to kill him. And this is the case. This is the story. This is what I started talking about. David is running for his life again. Only this time it's from his son, who has taken the nation in rebellion against David. And David is fleeing Jerusalem with his retinue of faithful soldiers and followers, his personal guard. And they say, let's do away with this guy who's coming along. Shimei was a descendant of Saul, one of the last descendants of Saul's family. I believe that's what the case was. Anyhow, he was related somehow to Saul and certainly was not a fan of David, who had done away with Saul as far as being king. And he was going along cursing, and they wanted to, let's do away with this guy. He said, what do I have to do to you sons of Zeruiah? Let him curse, because the Lord has said to him, curse David, and who shall say, why have you done so? And David said to Abishai and all his servants, see how my son who came from my own body seeks my life. How much more now may this Benjamite? Let him alone. Let him curse. For so the Lord has ordered him. It may be that the Lord will look on my affliction, and the Lord will repay me with good for his cursing this day. And as David and his men went along the road, Shimei went along the hillside opposite him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and kicked up dust. Boy, how low can you get? I don't know if you would let go somebody who's throwing rocks and kicking dirt in your face. David did. Why? God made me king. It looks like right now I'm not being king. But if God wants me to be king, I will be king. It's up to God. That's what he's saying. David wrote a psalm about it. Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord. Save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. Selah. I know that there are people here who have had some tough times in their life. And it seems like there's almost nothing you can do. And you pray. And you pray to God. As David prayed to God. And look what he said. I prayed to God. I cried out to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me. And I lay down and slept. There comes a point in life when you're suffering from adversities and you pray to God and you say, Lord, I've done all I can do. It's up to you. And this feeling comes across you and you can sleep because you know it's in God's hands. Wonderful. To the chief musician with stringed instruments, the Psalm of David. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long, you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Where else have we heard that statement? Meditate within your heart. On your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart more than in the season that their grain and wine increased. I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. There it is again, the same thought. We have faith. We are to have faith. Paul said, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. In everything and all things I've learned, both to be full and be hungry, both to abound and suffer need, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And there was the reference in class this morning to Romans 8. Paul sums it up by saying, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall, and he goes through a list of things that can be against us, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which in Christ Jesus our Lord. David was a man of action and accomplishments. He defeated Goliath as a youth. He delivered Israel from its enemies as a warrior. He was a great leader under Saul, such that Saul became jealous of him. The people would sing a song. Saul has killed his thousands. David has killed his 10,000s. 10 times greater than Saul. He became king. King of the nation. He united the country that was divided. And through it all, he managed to remain in favor with God. As Christians, we need to be active. You remember the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. What's the lesson of the parable of the talents? There's one with five, one with two, one with one. What was the expectation of the king or the one who gave the talents? The expectation was you will work 100% with what you have. The five-talent person gained five more. The two-talent person gained five more. What was the reward for them? The same. The one-person talent, had they gained one more, percentage-wise, would have gained the same thing, you see. But he didn't. What's the lesson? Use what you have. Use what you can do. We all have something we can do. We need to do it. Colossians 3:23, I made my children memorize the first part of this. Whatever you do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Remember, do. You see something needs done, do it. You're going into college to study? Study. Do it. I used to tell my children, find out who's making the best grades in class and hang with them. All right? Why? Because they know something. And you need to know that. You need to be with those kinds of people who are doing, who are accomplishing. God expects us to be that kind of people. Through it all, David was humble. Saul saw that his daughter Michal was in love with David. But he also saw her as a possible trap for David. And you remember, Saul had offered one of his daughters to whoever would beat Goliath. And of course, David did that. And Saul reneged. He didn't offer a daughter. But then later on, when David became famous, Saul saw the opportunity and he said, well, my second daughter is in love with him. This is a good deal. I don't know anything about her, but she liked David at the time. Anyhow, but David, in his humility, says to Saul, who am I that my life, or what is my life, or my father's family in Israel, that I should be son-in-law to the king? Here's this David who had defeated the enemies of Israel under Saul, as a general, if you will, and done great things. Saul wants to reward him, and David said, I'm not worthy of this. I'm just a shepherd. I'm just from a lowly family. Saul's servant spoke these words in the hearing of David, and David said, does it seem to you a light thing to be the king's son-in-law, seeing I am poor and lightly esteemed man? Boy, what an understatement that was. But that's what he thought. Early and late in his life, David appeals to Saul after one of the occasions when he could have killed Saul and didn't. He tells Saul, after whom has the king of Israel come out? Whom do you pursue? A dead dog? A flea? I am no threat to you. I am nothing. Why are you chasing me? And then later on, in 2 Samuel 7, God tells David what he has planned for him, how he will be the start of a great succession of kings, how he will be great, and his kingdom will be great, and literally becomes an empire under Solomon. And after God has got through telling David all these things, David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me this far? That's humility. He was humble. He had accomplished a lot. And here's God telling him, I'm going to give you all of these things. And David's going, why? I don't deserve this. I took a course from the Army once about, they were talking about one of the hardest things that we have to do as Americans is to accept compliments. And in this course, what they said was, if someone compliments you, it's a gift. If somebody gave you a birthday present, would you give it back? And say, I don't deserve this? Not many of us would. David is doing that to God. But no, he said, it's a gift. So the response is, thank you. That's what we ought to do. Thank you. David is thankful, obviously, but he's overwhelmed. I'm just out here doing my thing. Who am I that you brought me this far? We are to be humble as Christians. 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything is being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Therefore, Colossians 3:12, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. James 4:6, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. But David was a man of weaknesses. And those weaknesses came out periodically in his life, but he tended to overcome them. Anger and vengeance. Remember the story of Nabal? David and his men had been living amongst Nabal's shepherds and his flocks. A very wealthy man, had a lot of flocks. And they've been living among them, David and his men, 400 to 600 armed men, and they were protecting Nabal's flocks from raids by the Philistines. They kept them safe. And they got hungry. And so David sends to Nabal and says, can you give us some food? And Nabal was very nasty about it. He said, no, I'm not going to give you any of my stuff. And David gets angry at that and is going to kill Nabal. He yielded to temptation with Bathsheba, 2 Samuel 11. We know about that story. He was impetuous and he acted without asking God. Now, frankly, we ought to keep God in mind in everything that we do. David didn't always do that. Remember moving the ark. They recovered the Ark of the Covenant from the Philistines, and it had gone to someone's house, and David decided to bring it back to Jerusalem. And what did he do? He put it on an ox cart. The scripture was plain about how the ark should have been transported. Put staves through the rings, and certain priests were to carry it. But that's not what David did. And what happened? Uzzah, when it started to fall off the cart, puts his hand out and is struck dead. And that surprised David. And David went back and did what God told him to do. Later on, David, on a whim, decides to take a census. The nation is growing in power and everything else. Well, let's find out how many people we got. God had told him not to do that. But he did it. He was a permissive parent. He showed favoritism. He loved Absalom. And he let Absalom do whatever Absalom wanted to do. And Absalom rebelled and tried to depose his father. And then in the battle when Absalom was killed, David mourned for him. And he did show some pride. As the ark is being carried back, finally by priests, into Jerusalem, David is dancing in front of it and happy. And Michael criticizes him. And he pretty well looked at her and said, God chose me over your father, so I can do whatever I want. Told her that. Like a little pride there, it would seem. David's weaknesses caused him to sin, but when he did sin, he repented and asked forgiveness. If you read the story of Nabal again, you will find when Nabal's wife, Abigail, comes out and brings food, David gives thanks and he repents of what he was trying to do. He said, I'm glad you did that. I would have done wrong to kill Nabal. As it is, Nabal is struck and is killed, either by God or by disease or whatever. The implication is God strikes him and he dies. And David marries his wife Abigail, who I think was a very wise woman. As a matter of fact, I always think something must have happened to Abigail before Bathsheba came along, because I don't think Abigail would have settled for that. And Bathsheba. In Psalm 51, we don't have time to read it now. You read Psalm 51, that's David's psalm on hearing the prophet say, you're the man. You're the one who took the little sheep from the poor man. David repented. David repented of the census, although the nation suffered because he did it. But he was very sorry that he did it. Like David, we sin and we need forgiveness. Romans 3:23 referred to that in class this morning. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. David's life should encourage us all. Despite his fame and his accomplishments, he was human just like we are. All of these Bible characters we read about were fallible human beings just like you and me. Every one of them. David made mistakes, and he made some really big ones. And yet we read in 1 Kings 15:4, nevertheless, for David's sake, 4 through 4 and 5, for David's sake, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem by setting up his son after him by establishing Jerusalem, because David did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and had not turned aside from anything he commanded him all the days of his life, except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. My comment, even then, David repented and was forgiven by God. even now, even later on, Jesus is referred to as the Son of David. Think about that. God's Son is referred to as the Son of David. David was such a character, such a man in God's heart, that he would let his own son be referred to as the Son of David. He was a descendant of David. True. Well, our hope is in Christ and His Word. We hear the Word, Romans 10:17. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Believe and confess in Christ, Romans 10:8-10. We repent of our sins, Acts 17:30. God now calls all men everywhere to repent. In times of this ignorance God winked at, but now calls all people to repent. To be baptized, Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Rise and walk in newness of life. Our graduates and our folks that I know of have all done this. We have done that, who are Christians. So we are in the family of God, as David was. David had faults, and we have faults. David's story gives us hope that God will accept us as His children. And so graduates and everyone, you were busy in school, studies, activities. We had three children. I know what it's like. It seems like you don't have a spare minute sometimes, and parents don't have a spare minute either, trying to keep up with it. Your life, though, is going to get even busier and more complicated as you move through life. Go to school, learn a trade, learn a profession, do whatever, maybe get married. Things get more complicated. Stuff will tend to crowd God away from you, out from your life. Stuff will overwhelm you. Not bad stuff, necessarily, but it might be. Just stuff, day-to-day stuff. I'm convinced that when the New Testament talks about carnal things, it's talking not necessarily talking about wine, whiskey, and wild, wild women and men, but it's just talking about that, but it's talking about stuff, things. Don't let it. Take time. Take time to study, time to meditate. Janice said something about that. She takes time to study and meditate because she feels things overwhelming her. Take time to study, meditate, and keep God in your heart. Remember David and other examples that the Bible gives us. Joseph is another example we could have gone to. God is with us as long as we're with Him. Remember that. David said that over and over again. You can't go wrong dedicating your life to serving God. Lord willing, I live through August. I'll be 71 years old. I know in some folks that are in here that are members of this congregation, that's just pretty young. I remember Royal Tenon saying, oh, to be 80 again. My mother could say the same thing. But I will tell you, I've tried. I've tried to dedicate my life to serving God and being a Christian. There have been some things that I missed out on, maybe. I don't regret it. I honestly don't think I've missed anything that's important in life. I am so blessed. I feel like David. Who am I? Who am I that you would give me these things? Remember Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, not everybody together, and all these things will be added to you. That's it. If you're not a Christian, you're not in that family, you're not in that relationship, and you need to be. If you are a Christian, and like David and like a lot of us, you have maybe fallen, and you need help, you need the prayers. Remember, that's what we Christians are about. And graduates, never forsake the assembling together and associating with fellow Christians, because that's where the strength is. That's where you will be encouraged. That's where you will be refreshed. That and your personal study and relationship with God. If you have need, come forward as we stand and sing.